So y'all are a part of history tonight. This is our very first Church Gideon Sunday evening service. So glad y'all are here. The words on your song sheet, that sheet is to be used as your note-taking sheet if you want to take notes. We don't have a worship guide or anything. But this evening, I want to talk to you about how to be an effective Christian witness. And we just talked about this a few weeks ago. We talked about how to share Jesus without fear. Do you remember that? We talked about the five questions you need to know, like, do you have any spiritual beliefs? To you, who is Jesus? Do you believe in heaven or hell? We're going to talk about more about evangelism tonight, about witnessing. Have you guys ever heard of the book, The Last Lecture? You ever heard of that? It was a real famous thing. It wasn't too long ago. There was a man named Randy Pausch. He was a professor at Carnegie Mellon University, and he found out he has a wife, three young kids. He wasn't very old. He was in his 40s, and he found out he had 10 tumors in his liver, and only a few months to live. And so he was thinking, okay, I'm going to die soon. How am I going to find the time to teach my three little kids all the things that I would have taught them over the next 20 years? And what resulted was The Last Lecture. He wrote kind of this last lecture, and he ended up teaching it to the students at his college, and it was filmed. And first the film went on YouTube, and it went viral, and then it turned into a book. We've got it on our shelf. It's that brown one up there by Randy Pausch. But it's really neat because usually a person's last words are very, very important if they know that they're going to be their last words. You know what I mean? If the person knows that they're going to be dying soon, if they can choose their last words can be very important. Well, Jesus got to choose his last words because he knew when he was going to die, or when he was going to ascend into heaven. His last words are in Acts 1:8. You don't have to, you can flip in your Bible with me. We're going to be flipping around. We're not in any major single text this morning. Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so Jesus told his disciples, his very last words, that they were going to be his witnesses. They were going to go out and share their faith, share the gospel with people. And so Jesus calls all of us to do that, right? We're all called to be his witnesses, his evangelists. Doesn't matter if you're a preacher or a seminary professor or what you are, mom, dad, doesn't matter. We're all called to be Christ's witnesses. That's also called evangelism, is what that's called. Evangelism is one of the purposes of your life. I don't know if you've ever read Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life. Very, very popular book. It was it's like the most popular. We talked about this at home group this week. It's like the most popular or the best-selling nonfiction book of all time next to the Bible, Purpose Driven Life. And Rick Warren writes about how, and he found this in the Bible, that every Christian has five purposes. And five purposes for your life. There are five reasons that God has put you on this earth. The first is worship, loving God. The second is discipleship, or growing as a Christian. The third is fellowship, or doing life with other Christians in the church. And the fourth is ministry, serving and meeting people's needs. The fifth purpose of your life, he says, is evangelism, which is witnessing to people. And so that's what we're talking about today. If you neglect evangelism, if we neglect to evangelize, to witness to our lost friends and family members and neighbors, then we're neglecting life's purpose. So why is witnessing important? Let me give you three reasons why evangelism is so important. First of all, it's commanded. The Bible, or the Christian life, being a Christian is all about reading the Bible, doing what it says. That's what it means to be a Christian, reading the Bible and doing what it says. And so what does the Bible say? Well, it says to go out and be a witness for Jesus, to go out and tell lost people about Jesus. The Great Commission is Matthew 28:19-20. We talked about this in home group recently. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you." And so Jesus commanded us to go out and share our faith. So that's the first reason evangelism is important, or witnessing is important. It's commanded. Second reason is because it's important. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Bible tells us that there's only one way to go to heaven, that people who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ go to hell. And so that means evangelism is extremely important. There's a lot of things that we can do with our lives and with our time, but when you think about how important evangelism is, I don't know if there's anything more important or as important as evangelism, as reaching people for Jesus. Without Christ, people go to hell. I mean, think about your family members and think about your friends. and your neighbors and your coworkers who don't have a relationship with Christ. I mean, if you take the Bible seriously, it says they're going to hell. The third reason evangelism is so important is because it's urgent. People don't live forever. They don't live very long. We have people all around us in Acadiana who are dying. And all of us are dying, right? In other words, all of us are headed toward death. We're all going to die one day. But there are some people in Acadiana, a lot of people in Acadiana, they're very close to death. And they don't know Christ. And so there are people even today in Acadiana who are going to die without Christ and spend eternity in hell. So evangelism is very urgent. We don't have time to lose. We need to get busy. And so I want to talk to you about four essentials to be an effective witness. All right, if you're taking notes, number one, to be an effective witness, you got to understand what evangelism is. Understand what evangelism is. There's a lot of confusion about evangelism. Let's talk about what evangelism is not. Number one, evangelism is not sharing your testimony. Sharing your testimony is not evangelism. Your testimony is your story of how you came to know Christ. You've heard of that, right? Your testimony is your story of how you came to know Jesus and how your life was changed by Christ. And a testimony is very, very important. Usually a testimony has three parts. Is what was your life like before you became a Christian? How did you become a Christian? And what has Christ done in your life since? How is your life different? So those three parts. Our testimony is very, very important, but a testimony is not evangelism. A testimony can help you evangelize, but it's not evangelism. As well, evangelism is not serving lost people. Let's say that you have a neighbor who is not a Christian, and you want to reach your neighbor for Christ, and so you decide, well, I'm going to serve my neighbor. I'm going to go out of my way to find ways to be helpful to my neighbor, and so when we have extra barbecue, I'm going to bring him a plate. Whenever I see his empty garbage cans out by the street, I might bring those into the house. If he has some weeds in his flower bed, I might go out and pick those weeds. You're just thinking, I want to serve my neighbor because he's lost, and I want to just show him the love of Christ. Well, serving lost people, as good as that is, something we should do. That's not evangelism. That can help you with evangelism, but that's not evangelism. As well, evangelism is not displaying Christ-like character. Sometimes we think if I just am holy enough, if I'm just a good enough Christian, if I just let Christ shine through me, then I'll be able to win my friends to Christ. But and that's very, very important. That can help your evangelism, but just being a good person is not evangelism. That's not witnessing. Those things are all good, but what is evangelism? Well, to understand what evangelism is, you have to answer this question. What does it take for a person to be saved? What does it take for a person to be saved? They need to know the gospel, or hear the gospel, understand the gospel, and believe the gospel. They have to hear it, understand it, and put their faith in the gospel message. So evangelism centers around the gospel. It's all about the gospel. Romans 1:16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the what? Of the gospel. Because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek." So for evangelism to occur, for someone to get saved, they've got to hear the gospel and put their faith in the gospel. So sharing your testimony won't save anybody. And serving somebody, being nice to somebody, being kind to somebody, like the Good Samaritan, that won't get anybody to heaven. And being a good Christian, acting like Jesus, you know, being very nice and holy and godly and kind and loving, that won't get anybody to heaven. In order to save someone from hell, they need to hear the gospel, understand the gospel, put their faith in the gospel. That's why I like this definition of evangelism. Evangelism is taking the message of the good news of Jesus Christ to people and explaining it to them in a way that they can get in on it if they want to. Evangelism is taking the message of the good news. That's the gospel. That's what gospel means, good news. It's taking the message of the good news to people and explaining it to them in a way that they can get in on it if they want to. That comes from Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. Now, with that being said, sharing your testimony is very, very helpful. It can help you bring people to Christ. Acts of service, serving lost people. Being a good, godly Christian. Those things, what they do is they make your message more believable. So when you explain the gospel, then you share your testimony and you show how believing in the gospel has changed your life, that can really make the gospel, it can adorn the gospel, as the Bible puts it. It can make the gospel more attractive and more believable. But the key to evangelism is the gospel. We've got to put the gospel in people's hands. Number two, The second essential for effective evangelism is know the gospel. You got to be able to understand what evangelism is. And what is evangelism? It's sharing the gospel with people. They got to have the gospel. So the second part is knowing the gospel. You have to know the gospel. If you have to share the gospel, you got to know it. You can't share what you don't know. So you got to know the gospel backwards and forwards. Every Christian needs to be able to just really quickly and easily be able to share the gospel. So you can know the gospel in four words, four easy words: God, sin, Christ, and us. Are you? God, sin, Christ, and you. God, sin, Christ, and you. Those four words. First of all, God loves you, created you to have a relationship with him. But sin, we're all sinners, and that sin separates us from God. We can't have a relationship with God, and the eternal punishment for sin is hell. And then Christ, the good news is God sent Christ to pay for our sins on the cross so that we don't have to suffer and die and go to hell. But then you, each person, has to personally, individually put their faith in Jesus and invite Jesus into their lives to be their Savior. So God, sin, Christ, and you. That's the gospel. You've heard me say this before. Another way to explain the gospel is with the contrast between the words and do and done. You've heard me say that many times at Church Acadiana to help people understand the gospel. The gospel is the difference between do and done. Do and done. All other religions in the world focus on what you need to do for God, what you need to do to earn your way to heaven. But Christianity focuses on what Christ has done for us, and we put our faith in what he's done, not in what we can do. Here's another helpful tip for helping people understand the gospel, and you've heard me say this. I call this the most important question, because this question is how you determine whether or not somebody understands and believes the gospel. You ask somebody, why should God let you into heaven? Why should God let you into heaven? And if the answer to that question has anything to do with their performance or the good works that they've done, what does that tell you? They're lost. Yeah, they're not putting their faith in Jesus. They're putting their faith in themselves. It's funny. They can say on the one hand, they believe in Jesus. But on the other hand, they can say that they're trusting in their good works. All right. So know the gospel. Number three, third tip or third essential for effective evangelism is to pray for the lost. Sean, there's a cry room, the girls' room, or you can step out on the porch if y'all need to. Oh, I think I already told y'all that. Y'all were here when I said that. The third key essential is pray for the lost. If you want to reach your friends and family for Christ, if we want to reach our community for Christ, we've got to pray for them. Pray for the lost. On a regular basis, we should be praying for the lost people in our lives. Romans 10:1, Paul said, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God concerning them is for their salvation." Paul was praying for the Jews for their salvation. And so for me, on Thursday morning in my quiet time, the focus of my prayer is my lost friends and family. That's when I pray for the lost at work and in my family and in our neighborhood. I pick Thursday morning. That's when I do it. And I think it's good to have a time that you set aside to specifically pray for them by name. And for me, that's Thursday. How do you pray for the lost? Paul set the example. I'm not going to read all these verses. I'm just going to refer to them. In Colossians 4:3, Paul prayed for opportunities to share the gospel. In Ephesians 6:19 through 20, Paul prayed for boldness to be able to proclaim God fearlessly. He also prayed for clarity to be able to share the gospel in a clear, understandable way. And then in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, he prayed that the people he shared the gospel with would believe. And so whenever we're praying for God, for lost people, we're not just praying for their salvation, we're actually praying that God would use us, if you follow the example of Paul. In other words, you're praying that God wants you to be the answer to your own prayers. In other words, God wants to use you. In other words, we're not praying for God to send somebody else, we're praying that God would use us. And so pray for opportunities to share the gospel, pray for boldness, that you would have the courage to share the gospel when that opportunity came, pray for clarity, that you can clearly explain the gospel, but then also pray that they would believe, that God would open their hearts. Okay, and then the fourth essential for effective evangelism is to invite the lost to church. Invite the lost to church. A lot of people, if not most people, come to Christ because somebody invites them to church. And God has saved a lot of people that way. I look back at our church's history. We sent out an Easter mailer. And a few years ago, and Eddie and Mickey came to our church as a result of the Easter mailer, and they got saved, and they invited Destiny and Jeremy to church. Destiny and Jeremy came, and they got saved. We had a guy in our church named Corey, who I invited to our church, and then he was an old, Corey McReynolds, an old friend of mine, you know, Corey. And then Corey invited Will, because Will and Corey served together in Iraq. And so Corey invited Will Hedge to church. Will was lost. Will came to our church. Will got saved. Will invited Scott and Christina, and they came to our church and got saved. And Scott and Christina invited Angie Boudreaux then, now Angie Hedge. She came to our church and got saved. And they invited their parents, Alan and Linda Boudreaux. They came to our church and got saved. You see how invitation works? I mean, you invite people to church, they amazing things can happen when people, there's something about the gather, maybe it's just the gathered people of God. When God's people gather, God's presence is there in a special way. So don't underestimate the power of the invitation. And one thing that we need to remember is that every single Sunday, there's going to be a lost person. There could be a lost person at our church. Even if you don't invite somebody who's lost to our church, every single Sunday there could be a lost person there. And so that means every single Sunday we need to be ready for company at our church. We need to be ready for lost people to be there. And so how do we do that? Let me give you a few ideas for how we can be ready for company at Church Acadiana. Even if you didn't invite somebody, you need to show up with the mindset that somebody here was invited, probably. There could be somebody here who's lost. So the first thing I encourage you to do is show up as often as possible. We want to encourage the people in our church, show up to church on Sunday mornings as often as possible, because when a lost person comes to our church and sees an empty room, they're thinking, well, if nobody else is believing this message, then why should I believe it? Maybe it's not believable. Maybe it's not worth believing. They come, there's an empty room, and they're thinking, God, this is kind of kooky. This is kind of crazy. I guess nobody's buying into this stuff. But if an unchurched person or a lost person comes to church and they see a room full of people who are passionate, who are excited, who love each other, who are really into the message, into the worship, a bunch of true believers, that peer pressure, honestly, can actually pull them in and make them listen up and say, wow, these people really seem to believe this message. So just show up on Sundays, and you can do a lot of good just by showing up, just by being there. Another way that we can be ready for company on Sunday mornings for lost people is what I call the 10-foot rule. You've heard me talk about this. When unchurched people or lost people come to our church, they're wondering, does anybody care about me? Does anybody over here care about me? Do the people here like me? Will they love me? Will they accept me? It's very awkward for a lost person to come to church for the first time. They're coming to a church where everybody believes something that they don't believe. And so it's really awkward. It's really weird. And so we need to go out of our way to make these newcomers feel welcome and loved. And so the 10-foot rule is something that I stumbled upon in some book that I read years back. But the 10-foot rule is simply this. Whenever somebody passes within 10 feet of you, stop what you're doing, look at them, smile, and say hello or say good morning. Just anytime somebody, not just a stranger, but we practice with each other, anytime somebody passes within 10 feet of you, acknowledge them, smile, hello, good morning. You don't have to say both of those. You can pick either hello or good morning. But the 10-foot rule goes a long way. It does to making sure. You know, I've heard stories, you've probably heard stories of people going to a church. I've never heard this about our church, but I've heard stories of people going to a church and saying, you know, I went to that church and nobody said hello to me. Nobody greeted me. You know, everybody seemed to be in their own little clique and conversation. Nobody even acknowledged me. We don't want to be that kind of church. We're going to be very welcoming. So the 10-foot rule, when people pass within 10 feet, smile and say good morning or say hello. And then the third way that we can get ready for company is to save the best seats for the lost. And the best seats for the lost people are in the back. That's where they like to sit, and near the aisle. And so what we're trying to do, what I'd like to do at our church, is encourage people, get people in the habit in our church to sit close to the front and move toward the middle. Open up those seats on the aisle, on the edge. And that's the most comfortable place for lost people. Man, the last thing we want is whenever a lost person comes to church for the first time, and there's no place to sit, so they have to come sit on the front row and be extremely awkward and feel like everybody's staring at them from the back. We don't want that. We want it to be as comfortable as possible when they come to Church Acadiana. So the essentials for being an effective witness, you got to understand what evangelism is. Evangelism is sharing the gospel. You got to know the gospel so that you can share it. What are the four words for the gospel that I gave you? Who took good notes? God, sin, Christ, and you. Okay, if you can just remember those four words, then you can share the gospel very, very clearly. You throwing stuff at me up here, Mary? You don't like that? Okay, and then you pray for the lost. We need to pray for the lost. You know, sometimes we're all in the same home group together. And in home group, I think it's a good thing to mention by name the lost people that we're praying for and say, I would like to lift up Henry, my coworker, my lost coworker. I'm praying for his salvation. That's a fictional character. I just made that up. But I'd like to pray for Henry. Would y'all pray for Henry with me? Let's pray by name for the lost people in our lives for their salvation. And then let's make sure we invite people to church. And even if you're not inviting somebody to church, get ready for company. Make sure that our church is prepared for whenever lost people come. So leading people to Christ is the greatest privilege that you can have in life. There's nothing more important. There's nothing better. And we don't have time to lose. And so I want to be an evangelist myself, not by profession. I'm just talking about I want to be a soul winner, and I know you do too. So let's do whatever we can to get out there and reach people for Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time together, Lord. We thank you for calling us, Lord, to the task of evangelism. And Father, we ask, Lord, that you would use us, that you would, Lord, that you would give us opportunities to share the gospel, that you would help us to share the gospel with boldness and with clarity. Lord, we also pray, Father, that you would help our friends and family members come to faith in Christ, Lord.